Good evening. So it's officially December, if you guys had noticed, which means that blissfully 2020 is nearly at an end. I think we're all looking forward to 2021. Tonight, I actually would like to talk a little bit about 2021 and some of the things I think that we typically talk about that's associated with New Year's. I appreciate Don leading the song "I Am Resolved," because tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about resolutions and the resolutions that we traditionally make on the 1st of January as we usher in the new year and we decide to change ourselves, reform ourselves, do something different. And I think that's something that's powerful. I think it's something that a lot of us strive to do, and I think it's something that a lot of us fail at by February. So that's just life, isn't it? The gyms are always fullest on January 2nd, and they're always emptiest on February 1st. It's just kind of how it goes, right? But before we talk about that, I wanted to bring up kind of a funny story. So Nicole and I have been attending this congregation for about 4.5 years. We joined here actually on July 4th, I remember, July 4th of 2016. And I remember when we first found this church, I think I Googled it, to be frank. We just found the address, had no idea where it was. We'd only been in Vegas for a couple months. So we threw it in the GPS and drove there the way the GPS told us to drive. And I'll be totally honest, I have driven that exact same route essentially ever since. Every single time I've come to church since that first time as a visitor, you know, we drive down the highway, we exit at Eastern, we take it down to Silverado. You know, there's a very specific path that we take, and I've always gone that exact way, without fail. That's just how you go. That's the way you get to church. Well, it's funny, because a couple weeks ago, I don't know, maybe it was on a whim, maybe I was just frustrated with driving on Eastern, because I hate driving on Eastern. I don't know about you guys. It's just... I decided to just deviate ever so slightly. Let me try this. Let me see if it's a little bit better. I'm on Eastern less. And so I take a turn a little bit early, and immediately Nicole goes, what are you doing? Where are you going? That's not how we go to church. Now I'm exaggerating a bit. But she certainly looked at me and was like, where are you going? Like, what's up? I was like, well, I think I'm going to try this. Okay, you know. And you know what's interesting is I've actually been driving that way ever since, just because I get to be on Eastern a little bit less, and I don't know, I seem to prefer it. But for 4.5 years, I always drove the same way. And it wasn't a conscious decision. That's just kind of what I got used to, right? That's just kind of what I did. I kind of fell into a rut. I fell into a habit. You know, it's interesting. At least 50% of the decisions we make every day are not really decisions at all. They're just habits. They're things that we do because we always do them. We drive to church this way. Seriously, think about it. The next time you get in your car, think about all the things that you do, clicking your seatbelt, you know, putting the car in gear, taking the parking brake off. You know, some of those things you have to do naturally to drive the car. But I have a very specific routine where I'm yelling at kids and I'm doing everything in a very, I always do the same things, right, you know? Kids, get your seatbelts on because the kids forget, and you know, putting mine on and all this. And when you drive, you obviously have habits as well. Hopefully you people use your turn signals. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't, but I know everyone here does. That's a good habit. That's a great habit to have. Certainly there are habits that are great habits to have. I hope all of us brush our teeth every day. Those are positive things. They make us healthy. They're good, right? There are positive habits. There's certainly also negative habits as well, bad habits. The one we always think about is biting your nails, but there are any number of bad habits that we can fall into. And that's just life. That's just human nature. It's part of the human condition. You know, I recently read a book. I read this book actually as part of a habit that I'm trying to start, where I read more. And it's actually this book right here. It's called Atomic Habits. And if you haven't read it, I'd recommend it. It's certainly not a religious book. It's just a generic book about habits and kind of how they happen and how you can change them. And it gives some really cool ideas that are actionable to tells you why you do things the way you do and kind of gives you ideas of how you can maybe trick yourself into changing habits and making habits stick so that on February 1st, you're still going to the gym and you're not one of the many people that is calling to cancel your membership. So tonight, what I wanted to talk about was two things. Number one, I want to have a little bit of a conversation. I'm going to blend it just a bit with some of the things from Atomic Habits, talking about some of the strategies that we can use to make habits stick. And then I want to make some recommendations of some habits that I think we can all grow in that are scriptural. And I don't think any of these are going to be earth-shattering. It's certainly something we've all heard. But it's a great time of year to start thinking about growing in those habits. Because if we make it a habit to read the Bible more, we're going to read the Bible more, and we're going to know more about Scripture. And that goes with all kinds of habits that we can establish. They're spiritual habits that will make us better Christians, because we'll be spending more time in God's Word, in God's presence, and with each other. You know, this morning, Bruce's lesson, he talked about people that would come to service, and they say, "I'm not being fed." You know, we put too much on other people to do things for us. We want the preacher to spoon feed us the exact message that we feel we need. And this is kind of, I think, chapter two of that lesson, wherein we say, this is how you can start to feed yourself, by building good habits that bring you into God's presence more often. So again, the name of the lesson is I Am Resolved. And if you remember, the first line of that song was, "I am resolved no longer to linger." Now let's talk about some things that we shouldn't linger on anymore. The first thing is one that I think you'd all expect, and that's quite simply prayer. If we look through the Bible, the word pray, prayer, praying, there are 375 different times that prayer is referenced in the Bible. And that's honestly, that's low, because that's the specific word of pray. But we certainly know that there are other euphemisms that are used. Go to the Lord, ask your heavenly Father. There are different ways of saying the same thing. Prayer is mentioned hundreds of times throughout the Bible. To say that there is an example that God's servants pray would be understating it. Every servant of God has an example of them praying, I would imagine. I can't think of the one that there is no example of them praying. There are so many wonderful times when we can reference. Just a couple to think of. Paul on the road to Damascus, when he is first struck blind after seeing Christ, he immediately goes and he prays. He spends 3 days essentially in prayer. And of course, Jesus, our Lord and Savior himself, praying in Gethsemane before he's crucified. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's kind of something we should probably be doing as well. Now, I hope that most of us pray. I hope that most of us are going to the Lord some. But this doesn't necessarily mean that the habit is that you never pray and you should start praying some now. Maybe you pray a lot. But maybe the improvements you can make in your life are to pray a little bit more. Pray more frequently, more fervently, with more purpose. Whatever it is for you that you need to be working on, you know better than I. Let's talk about a couple scriptures here, though, just about prayer. The first is from Philippians 4:6. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done." We were talking about Colossians chapter 1 this morning in our Bible class, and we didn't quite get far enough. I was hoping we would hit this, and we didn't get there. We finished at verse 8, but if you go on to verse 9, it says, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding." Here's a great example of Paul saying he's praying for other people, and he just hasn't stopped doing it since he heard about them. Another great example. And I think maybe the most curt and concise, but to the point, scripture about prayer is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, simply says, "Pray without ceasing." Now, I hear an objection a lot of times when we talk about prayer, though, and the objection is, well, we know that God knows what I need before I ever come to him. So why do I need to pray? What, you know, and if I pray once for whatever it is I need. God's heard me. He knows already. Why do I need to come back to God over and over for the same things? If he's all-knowing, what's the purpose of that? I think Jesus gave us a great response to that, and it's in Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 8. And this is one of my very favorite verses for this lesson today. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door's locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you." But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. It's a great verse. God knows what we need, but he also wants us to bug him over and over about it because he wants us to come to him. And as I read that scripture, it makes me think that God can have made his mind up, but if you fervently come to him in prayer, I think God's mind can probably change. It sounds like that. God wants us to come in prayer, and our faith and our shameless persistence has an impact on him. And that's Jesus there himself telling us that we need to do that. So yeah, we need to come to God, and we need to pray to God consistently, even about the same things. Now, Bruce, I gave you some handouts. If you could pass those out to the group right now. What I have copied out here that Bruce is going to hand you guys is some information from the book Atomic Habits. And essentially what it does is it lays out some different situations that we have. How you make a behavior effortless, and how you make a behavior difficult. Sometimes we want to maximize a behavior, and sometimes we want to minimize a behavior. And these are some principles that we can follow to try to make the behavior whatever it is we need it to be. So when we want a behavior to be effortless, we can either make it obvious, attractive, easy, or satisfying. And when we want to minimize a behavior and make it more difficult for ourselves, we can make it invisible, unattractive, hard, and unsatisfying. In this case, I want to talk about prayer, and I'm going to use an example of how you can make prayer more satisfying in your life as a practical means to grow a habit, if you have this habit and you're trying to be better with it. One example that has worked for me with reading is that whenever I finish reading a book, I keep a list of every book I read because I like having a checklist. I'm one of those guys. I like being able to check it off and say, look at all these books I've read this year. And I don't really share that with anybody. That's just for me. But I still feel really fulfilled when I can add a new book to my list for 2020 and say, man, look at all these books I've done. I feel like I've really, really met my goal here. I'm adapting this habit that I want, and it really fulfills me. You could very definitely do the same thing with prayer. And with that, you can, Stacy does a great job every week with updating the prayers on the back of the bulletin. You could use that as your check sheet to go through and ensure that you pray for everybody. You can, make your own list each week and add the things that are close and special to you, because we all obviously have people in our lives that I'm sure we pray for that are beyond just simply the list from church. But that's an idea, because I'm a list guy. I love being able to, I will literally write something on my list just so I can check it off. That's who I am. And so for me, I can see how that would be valuable, how that would be helpful for me to try to grow my prayer life, because I love accomplishing goals and having it as a daily goal that you're going to pray for these people. There's something about it that works for people. Okay, so our next principle that we can work on is fasting. Now, we talked about prayer being in the Bible something like 375 times. Fasting is still referenced 77 specific times in the Bible. There's a lot of examples of fasting. And we honestly see it with a lot of these cases that we talk about every day. Paul on the road to Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, 8 through 9, it says that Paul picked himself up off the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, and he remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. We see other examples. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Appoint Barnabas and Paul for the special work to which I've called them.'" And additionally, in chapter 14, verse 23, "Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. With prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord, in whom they had put their trust." These are all from Acts, but there are so many examples of fasting throughout Scripture. Typically, what we see with it is almost always paired with prayer. We typically fast when there's something difficult in our lives, especially difficult. It's not necessarily something we do as a routine. It's something that there's something very compelling, there's a major change, there's some decision that we have to make that's very difficult for us. And so we're fervently coming to the Lord in prayer, and we add fasting to that. Because what we're doing is we're applying the energy that we would normally spend eating or whatnot, and now we're taking that energy and applying it to God. And so I would say that fasting is something that I don't know that it's fallen out of fashion, but it's certainly not something we talk about, and I don't think that we probably do as much in the modern church. I actually did a whole sermon on this 2 years ago where I think that fasting has a place for us, and I just don't think that we really talk about it and do it enough, especially considering the sheer volume of example we have in Scripture. But fasting, really, if you have a hard decision, if you're at a difficult place in your life, if there is something that really, really has you leaning on God hard, incorporate fasting into that. Because it really, it has a significant impact on your closeness to God. It really does. And there is so much example in Scripture that demonstrates that. So that's another thing. And I don't know that that's something we do a daily fast or whatnot, whereas maybe we are daily praying. But certainly finding ways to incorporate fasting in 2021 would be a good idea. The next one is that we need to read Scripture. We need to really be digging into Scripture daily and making sure that we are constantly learning more about God's Word. Many great examples from Scripture as well about this. And we'll go to a couple of, I've got some of Bruce's greatest hits here. So, it's interesting because I had this pulled out already, and this was our Scripture reading from this morning. So it's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." I really like that. We also have the example from King David in Psalm 119, 105. You'll probably recognize the song, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." There's some really, really interesting elements from the law of Moses and from Deuteronomy as well regarding Scripture. In Deuteronomy 11:18-21, we have an account. It says, "So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these works of mine, these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors." We actually see examples today of modern Jews who literally, they have like prayer boxes that they'll tie to their forehead, and they have scriptures in their sleeves and things like that. It's interesting, and it comes directly from Deuteronomy. What I take from this is that God is saying to surround yourselves with Scripture. And I love the concept of putting Scripture in your doorframe. So essentially, every time you walk into your household, you are encircling yourself by the Word of God. You are walking into the house, and God is there because you have to pass through his Word to enter your dwelling. What a powerful thing. And you know what? We don't have any scriptures written in our doorframe. I think I'm doing that next weekend. I really do. Because it's such a wonderful physical representation of something that's very spiritual. We also get an example here in Matthew 4:4, which is actually a reference back to Deuteronomy 8:3. But Jesus is being tempted in the desert, and the devil offers to turn stones to bread. And of course, Jesus responds, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And so by that, we know that scripture is one of the most important things in our lives. Jesus is telling us, and for that matter, Moses told us before him, scripture is just as important as the food we eat daily. So if we're not consuming our spiritual food, if we're not consuming the scriptures, then we're going hungry daily. So it's important that we find an opportunity to consume scripture every day, to make it a part of our daily routine, so that we're constantly growing and reaffirming our knowledge of his word. To step back now to how to make this a practical habit in our lives, there's a couple examples that I have. I meant to bring it, I forgot it, but the Bible that I'm using as my daily reader right now is one of those annual Bibles where it's not broken up like a traditional Bible is. It literally is January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd, what you read. And it actually, mine breaks it up into some Old Testament and some New Testament every day. I love that. Because for me, trying to really get back in the habit of reading Scripture daily, taking away the need to have to, you know, like, okay, what book am I in? What chapter am I in? And having to flip around and figure that out daily. It's just you flip it open and you read it. That's powerful for me because I can just go to it and just get moving through and read. And what that does is it makes the habit easier to start. I have no doubt that when I'm done with that full year-long Bible, I'm probably going to move back to a regular Bible and do targeted reads of specific books and things like that. But by then, that habit is going to be set in its ways. I'm going to be reading I've been reading every day for many, many months, and it makes a difference. That's what's hardest, is to make it a daily habit that you never miss. You never miss. And starting a habit from scratch can be so tough because things happen. And I think one of the things that we see a lot of times with habits is that we don't make them easy. We make them hard. For example, with daily Bible reading, if we have not been reading Scripture daily, if it's something we want to add to our lives but we're not doing, and I say, Bruce, I'm going to read 5 chapters of the Bible every day because I love God so much, that's great, but I promise you that within a week, I'm going to have a day that's really hard to get through 5 chapters because it's not something that I'm programmed yet to always do. That's really great if I can get there, but it's probably not something I'm going to be able to walk in and do consistently. So taken actually from Atomic Habits and kind of tweaking what he recommended, if you really are starting from the ground up where you are not reading Scripture at all, make your habit simple. Maybe make it that you're going to read 2 or 3 verses a day. I know that's not much, but what it gets you in the habit of doing is physically opening your Bible and actually reading the Scriptures every day. And you know what? When you're there, maybe go a few extra verses. Maybe go to the end of the chapter. Maybe the next chapter after that. But you're only dedicating yourselves to 2 or 3 verses a day. So then if you can't quite get there in that day, you don't feel like a failure. Your habit isn't completely ruined. The point is to make it a consistent thing, because once that foundation's built, you can build the next level, and you can build the next level. The example that's given in the book is actually about the gym. There were people that were saying, I want to work out 5 days a week, and I'm going to work out 2 hours a day in the gym. That's hard to do. But if you instead say, I'm going to go to the gym 2 days a week, and I'm going to work out for 30 minutes, that's a lot easier to accomplish. And if you add a third day later, and a fourth day, and an hour-long session, you can grow that with time. But habits are all about getting something so ingrained into your conscious that you drive to church and you just always drive the same way, right? That it doesn't deviate, then you can build on it and make it better. So with reading Scripture, I would very much recommend make it easy on yourself, find a way to simplify that, and then you can expand on it with time. So continuing on, our next thing that we need to work on is attending assembly. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And then another of Bruce's greatest hits, Hebrews 10:25. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So we need to be attending services together. We need to be coming together in fellowship, because there's so many wonderful things that come with fellowship, with building one up, with becoming stronger in our faith through each other. And the example I have here is that we want to make this, the example I use for myself is that we want to make this attractive. So for me, I have long really wanted to be a consistent goer of Wednesday night church, and I've long been really bad at that. And you know, I have a lot of excuses. Nicole works late on Wednesdays. I actually have some extra responsibilities at work on Wednesdays, so it's a long day. So I have to come and bring the kids by myself, and I have all the excuses in the book. I've used them all, and I certainly could justify to myself that I just don't have time to come on Wednesday nights. But I have made it a point that I really want to be better about that, and I have been recently. And one of the things I've actually done is I also enjoy history, and I have a lot of old relics and things from the World Wars and stuff like that, and Bruce likes history too. So every week, I bring some little trinket from 100 years ago or something, and I share it with him, and he and I have a fun conversation. And I've made a promise to myself. I don't get to bring any on Sunday. I don't get to bring any on any other day. I can only bring stuff on Wednesday night. So if I want to do show and tell, I have to come on Wednesday. And you know what? That gets I get excited. I'm like, hey, I'm going to show him this tonight, but I can only bring one item, and I can only bring, you know, on Wednesday. As silly as it sounds, it works. And so whatever it is for you, that's an example of finding a way to kind of get yourself in the habit, because one day that falls away, and I'm in the habit of coming to church, regardless of anything else. And look at that transition. We need to be coming together in Hebrews 10:25, but it also says encourage one another. We need to be encouragers of one another. That's another thing that we need to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. This is another one of my favorite verses from this lesson, Galatians 6:1-3. This translation is great. It says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person come back into the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. In verse 3 is the one I like the best. It says, if you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. So what that says is that encouragement is not the sole domain of Bruce. Encouragement is not the sole domain of the elders of the congregation or the men or whatever. It's all of our responsibility. We need to all be engaging in encouraging one another. And that goes hand in hand with coming to fellowship, but it doesn't have to be that way. So the example I have for this one is to make it obvious. And to make it obvious, what I've done is I actually, on my desk at work, when I actually go into my office, which hasn't been for like 9 months now, but I have a notary pad sitting on my desk, and I have stamps, and I have return address labels and all of this, and it stays on my desk at all times. If I clean off my desk and move everything off, that never moves. And what that's there for is that I really started this for work, but if there's somebody at my work that's done a really good job, that I really appreciate what they've done, that, you know, whatever it is, they've had a hard challenge and they've overcome it, I will just pull out a piece of notary, write them a quick note, drop it on their desk, mail it to them, whatever I need to do to send them some encouragement and say, thank you so much for what you've done for our company this week. And I do that by making it obvious. It's on my desk. I see it every day, and I think about it like, I should really write somebody a note, you know? And if I put it in my drawer, if I looked away from it, then I would forget about it, and I wouldn't do it consistently. But by making it obvious, it's something that's always there for me. There's so many areas that I missed tonight that I wasn't able to hit. We could easily have talked about how we need to make evangelism something that we are consistently doing and talking to others about Christ. We could easily talk about our monetary contributions to the church and how God loves a cheerful giver. One that I'd considered including was teaching our children. Bring up a child the way he should go, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it. It's very important, and as somebody with small children, obviously, it's an important thing to consider. Lastly, we should always be rejoicing and thanking the Lord for the things he gives us. And actually, in 1 Thessalonians 5, one of the most simple scriptures in the Bible is, rejoice always. Those are all things that you can incorporate into your life. You can grow in your life as a habit that you want to expand. But what I would say to you is that, 2021, New Year's is coming around the corner, and it's a great time to start a new resolution to walk closer with God. But remember the words of the Ethiopian eunuch when he says, look, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Nothing prevented him from being baptized. So I say here, look, here's December 6th. What prevents you from making a resolution tonight? Why wait until 2021? Why not get a head start on that New Year's resolution? So I would encourage all of you, if there's something I've said or just something that's on your heart that you know that you need to grow into to walk closer with God, that you start that walk tonight. We never like to leave a service without making the invitation. So if you have something on your heart, something that you want to share with the church, something that we can help you pray about, or maybe you, like the Ethiopian eunuch, feel the need to be baptized, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.